Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paschatya Desatarine Om Ajnanantimirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Visavanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpataruvyascha Kipa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Sini Singhadev Bhagavan Ki
Jai.
Yes, today is very auspicious day, most auspicious day, as we are celebrating the anniversary of the Lord's appearance in His form as half-man, half-lion incarnation. The Lord's incarnations are compared to waves in an ocean, where it is unlimited. Of course, Supreme Lord is only one, but He has many, many expansions called avatars. And the Lord's expansions are none different than Him. Another example was given, just like a room full of candles, and you have one candle which is already lit up, and you use the same candle to light up the full room of candles, so it has the same potency. All the candles have one, what you call one candela in science. So Krishna is like that. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And amongst His incarnations, innumerable. It says that as there are as many species of life, 8,400,000 species, similarly, there are also as many species or expansions of the Supreme Lord in that different species of life. It's like snake incarnation. Who? Anantadev. How about in the horse incarnation? Yagriv. How about in the fish incarnation? Matsya. How about in tortoise incarnation? Kurma. Now, many, many incarnations. It says that there are Purusa avatars, Guna avatars, Lila avatars, Manvantar avatars, Sakchaves avatars, Lila avatars. So, it says that Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Ramachandra, and Lord Nisinghadev, the half-man, half-lion incarnation, they all are of the same equal potency. Others, when they come, the expansions of the Supreme Lord, only for a specific function. But they can express also the same potency, but it is somehow, it's like kind of limited up to that part. It will not go beyond. But Lord Nisinghadev is very special. He is the Lord of protection. He is the Lord of destroying our anarthas. Now, protection doesn't always mean that protection from danger, that is included, or protection from calamities, or protection from some seemingly also mundane anxieties or sufferings. But mainly, the Supreme Lords protect the consciousness of His devotees. Just like Prahlad Maharaj. Compare to Lord Nisinghadev. Lord Nisinghadev is quite big. It's like Barahadev. It's quite big also. The boar incarnation. It's like when the deities of Mayapur, Lord Nisinghadev, when they ask to be created, that Supreme Lord's different features in Lord Nisinghadev as many, many types. There is Ugra, there is Shanta, there is very peaceful, very ferocious. If you see the deities, of course, many of us have been to Siddha Mayapur. He's ready to jump. His knees are bent in such a way that he's ready to jump. So they ask if they can also have a Prahlad Maharaj deity. And the sculptor, or the one who, Stapati. He says, then Prahlad Maharaj will just be just like an amoeba. Very, very small. But because it is requested, and ISKCON, especially the protector of the Sankirtan mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the age where we are right now, H of Kali, is Lord Nrisimhadev. And especially it is in Srila Mayapur. When Srila Prabhupada also was very sick, Prabhupada taught this prayer. And he asked his disciples to send this prayer all over the world to please ask Lord Nrisimhadev for the protection of our Guru Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj, compared to, he's very small, but he's also great. In the Mahajans, Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Komara, Kapilo, Manu, Paladho, Janako, Bhishmo, Balir, Bayasaki, Bayam. He is the youngest. He's only 5 years old. It's not like the Kumaras. The Kumaras looks like 5 years old, but they are millions and millions of years old. So of all the Mahajans, Mahajans means they are the authorities for religion. And religion cannot be man-made, cannot be imagination. Dharma to saksat bhagavat pranitam. So Prahlad Maharaj, the seventh canto, the story of Prahlad Nrisimhadev is the longest. Could be the longest. Or one of the longest, but it is the longest. It's about 10 chapters in the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, why the Lord comes, especially to fulfill the words of His devotees? Long, long time ago, at the dawn of creation, somehow, it goes back with the four Kumaras, they were asked by Lord Brahma to populate the entire universe. But they decided to say no. This is the only instruction coming from the spiritual master that you can say no. If the spiritual master says, you go become a brihastha. Of course, the guru will not, usually will not say that or ask the disciple. The disciple, as much as possible, the guru wanted him to be a brahmachari. Prabhupada says, all my male disciples should remain brahmacharis and all of my female disciples should get married. So it's not gonna work, isn't it? So the four Kumaras says, no, we're not going to do it. Let's just go travel all over the universe. And they look like five-year-old boy because of being celibate. If you're celibate, you have a lot of potency. Tejas. Ojas. The semen goes up to the brain. You'll have good memory. You have long life. So the Kumaras, they wanted to have darshan, Lord Narayan. They're Brahma buddies. They're Brahma buddies. So in the spiritual world, in Vaikuntha, there are seven gates which leads to the kingdom of Lord Narayan. Four on form, Narayan. And on the seventh gate, it's like if you go to South India also, there are temples there. Where is that temple? I think we've been there before. Where you go? Huh? Ranganath, where the Lord is lying down, right? And you have the deities like lying down, and it's like here we have three altars, but over there, the first door you will see the head, then the second door you will see the body, and then the lotus feet. So there were these two chokidars, or security guards, or guardians, and they checked the Kumaras, Sanandan, and Sanat Kumar. Sanandan, yes. They checked, says, oh, where are you going? There's no way you can go. You're just young boys. What are you doing here? You go back. So the four Kumaras says, these are very impudent personalities. They're not meant to be here. So they curse the name of the chokidars, are Jai and Vijay. Meanwhile, Lord Narayan, actually, he knew what's going on. He knew what's going on. So he came out and says, is there anything matter? What's going on? He says, yes, these two guards, they're stopping us. I mean, if you already come to that level where you're on the seventh gate and you're being stopped, why is this? Why are we being stopped? So we curse them to take birth in the material world. Now, actually, when the Lord performs His pastimes, many things happens all at the same time. So He asked the two doorkeepers, do you want to take birth seven times as my devotees or three times as my enemy, as demons? Now they contemplated, Jai and Vijay. Finally they concluded, our dear Lord, we are prepared to take birth three times as demons. How is that? To expedite, so that they will become again into their service, so that they can do again their service. See, the Lord, no one can fight the Lord. We're just like mosquitoes fighting an elephant. So He will choose His opponent. And to exhibit this fighting spirit, He chose this pastime to happen. Also, the Supreme Lord would like to fulfill the words of His pure devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, and He will come to slay. This is part of the pastime again. Jai and Vijay, they took birth as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, Kumbhakarna and Ravana, Dantabhakra and Shishupal. But later on, they figure out Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also will come. So they said, well, let us extend our stay. And they became Jagai and Madai. Jagai and Madai ki? They're pure devotees. They became Jagannath and Madhava by the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is more merciful, considered in this pastime as more merciful than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They figure out they want to take part in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan mission in Kali Yuga. So, okay, one more time. Instead of third time, going immediately. So they decided to become demons. And the first demon that was killed was Hiranyaksha by Lord Varahadev, where we heard that story again from the Srimad Bhagavatam, that they were fighting because Hiranyaksha, like Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, he likes gold. He likes gold. So somehow or other, the whole universe was disturbed because of these two brothers, and the orbit of the planet Earth was misplaced, and somehow it becomes submerged to the nether region of the universe. And the Lord, as a boar incarnation, now the Lord may have these different kinds of forms, but they are always full of knowledge, bliss, and eternity. It's like in Vrindavan, if you think of a boar or a pig, you will see them in action. They will be going into Nanali and, you know, always full of mud and dirt. One good thing about the animals in Vrindavan is that they're always smeared with Brajaraj, so they're very clean. So in the fight, because the boar incarnation went down to the bottom, because the universe is filled up very subtle with water, half Garbhodakasaya Vishnu is lying down. So when Varahadev went down to pick up with his tusk the planet Bhumi, Hiranyaksha forbade him for the earth to be saved. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are two Varahadevs, Sweta and Lal. Whitish in color and reddish in color. So they had a fight, and of course, what demons? No one can kill Krishna. No one can kill the Supreme Lord. So Hiranyaksha was killed, and then Hiranyakashipu was very much aggrieved. And the whole family, the mother, the relatives, the uncles, the aunties, everyone in the family of Hiranyakashipu was so much in grief, so much in sorrow. They're suffering, miserable because of the loss of Hiranyaksha. And Hiranyakashipu, even though he's a demon, considered as the king of demons, but he knows the philosophy of Atma. He knows that the soul is eternal. It cannot be cut into pieces, cannot be withered by the wind, cannot be burned by fire. It doesn't die. It's eternal. So he was telling the family members that that's all right. It's okay. He goes on for the higher region. His soul will go on to the higher region. But deep inside, Hiranyakashipu was so much in vengeance, like the way his brother was killed, he wanted to avenge, to kill Lord Vishnu. The demons may know the philosophy, but the application, they don't apply. They don't, the knowledge, they don't apply. They may know that there is God, but they don't accept God. This is the difference between the demons and the devotees. The demons, they acknowledge that there is God, but they don't follow Him. They're more concerned about their sense enjoyment. The devotees, they know that there is God, but they follow His instructions. And everything that they do is only for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. So that is the difference. So now, Hiranyakashipu, he decided to become immortal. He decided to be the ultimate person that even Lord Vishnu will not be able to kill him. And he is determined to kill Lord Vishnu. So he went to Mandara Mountain or Mandara Hill. Every kalpa, when Lord Nrisimhadev appears, it happens in different parts of the universe. It's like if we go to South India, we will see different places where Lord Nrisimhadev appeared. But this pastime happened in the Swargaloka, in the heavenly planets. Like recently, a few months ago, we went to Ahobilam. How many of you have been to Ahobilam? Did you go up there, up in the Stamba, Nisinga Stamba? I was not, you know, I'm afraid of heights. So it's so steep. It's like this. How can you walk? How can you climb? You have to crawl and you have to hold in the rocks. But many devotees have been there. There's about 9 deities of Lord Nrisimhadev, and practically all of them are self-manifest. And Ahobilam is very, very mystical. There's a Garuda mountain opposite the Nrisimha Stamba, the pillar where Lord Nrisimhadev appeared. It looks like Garuda, the opposite, the carrier. Of course, Garuda, there is also a species of Garudas. This special Garuda is the carrier of the Supreme Lord. In that place also, there is the school of Prahlad Maharaj. And it's hard to believe because the school is just right near the cliff. So children, you know, they run here and there, they go fast. And if you slip, you're right there. You're gone down like few hundred meters down. So, Hiranyakashipu, he is determined to become immortal. He went to the Mandara Mountain. This is in the heavenly planets. And there, he performed tapasya, austerities. Austerity means you want to achieve a certain goal, but to achieve this goal, you have to pay a price, which it may be seemingly, unwillingly, you are not able to do it and you don't want to do it, but you want to reach your goal. So you have to do it. It's like we perform austerities every day. Our goal is to go back home, back to Godhead. So we perform tapasya. We get up early in the morning, chant our rounds, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which according to Srila Prabhupada is the greatest austerity in Kali Yuga. To chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Of course, it is easy to chant, but our mind goes everywhere. That's why it is difficult. We have to focus. Ignore the mind. Whatever the mind says, when we chant Hare Krishna, Maha Mantra, then it will become easy. So, Hiranyakashipu, he performed austerities for 100 celestial years. I've read somewhere it is 125, but 100 is better. 25 is a little bit longer because there one day is 6 months for us. So it's astronomical. Lord Brahma lives for 100 years, but his 100 years is 311 trillion years of our life. It's quite lengthy. And what he did is just he raised his head and his toes, he's standing on his toes, and he did it for 100 years of celestial year. Parasites, ants, worms starting to eat his flesh, his blood, he's sucking his blood, except the bones. Because once the bones is gone, it's gone. And he was covered up like an ant hill. And while this is going on, the entire universe became so disturbed. Extreme heat coming from his head. And this is spread all over the universe. The demigods, they were like, hey, it's so hot. It's like right now in Vrindavan, 47 degrees, 48 degrees. Most of us are like inside. Right? But the demigods, they cannot bear the heat. They probably don't have air conditioner there or something. No, the demigods live and they just die. They don't have Apollo Hospital there or something. They, you know, like demigods are like that. They have a certain lifespan, and then once it's gone, it's gone. They come back again to the material, earthly planets. So they approach Lord Brahma. They usually approach Lord Brahma, and then Lord Brahma, along with the demigods, they will approach Kshirdakshayi Vishnu, who is lying down in the ocean of milk. And the Lord says, don't worry. When the right time comes, I will come and I will destroy this demon. Now meanwhile also, at that time, the demigods, headed by King Indra, they kidnap the wife of Hiranyakashipu, Kayadu, because they knew that there is a baby in the womb of Kayadu. Their decision was that to kidnap her, and as soon as the baby will take birth, they will kill the baby. Because they thought, this is a demon. His father is the king of demons, and therefore, the child that will be born will also going to be a big demon. But out of the blue came Narad Muni. Narad Muni is like this. He has passage, free access everywhere, spiritual world, material world, and he's always there when the right time is needed. It's amazing. And there's only one Narad Muni. Okay? You can have many Brahmas or many Shivas, but there's only one Narad Muni. And Narad Muni says, stop! No, you cannot take the wife. She is also chaste. She is also has a very good heart. How can you have the baby of a pure devotee if you are not pure also? Does it make sense? Huh? It makes sense. So, I will bring her to my ashram. So, Narad Muni brought her, Kayadu, to her ashram. Now, we cannot figure out where is this ashram, because Narad Muni doesn't stay in one place more than it takes to milk the cow. It's like Prabhupada was cursed by the parents of his disciples that he will not be able to stay in one place for a longer period of time. But Prabhupada says, I will transfer this curse to my disciples for preaching, so that they will also not be able to place in one place for such a long time, and they will spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Like Narad Muni. Of course, Narad Muni has an ashram here, Narada Kund in Govardhan, but there is no praman that Prahlad Maharaj inside the womb and Kayadu was taught about Bhagavad Dharma. So the classmates of Prahlad Maharaj was asking, because Prahlad Maharaj during tiffin time he would teach bhakti to his friends. There was a gurukul established by Hiranyakashipu. A gurukul means the school of the spiritual master, gurukul. And the main guru actually is Sukracharya. And Sukracharya, he is the guru of the demons. And for the demigods, Brihaspati. So, while, and the two sons, Sanda and Amarga, they were like the schoolmasters. And the main purpose of this gurukul is to teach Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj has also three brothers. There are four sons of Hiranyakashipu. So Hiranyakashipu wanted to have Prahlad Maharaj to be a better demon than himself. That is the goal of the father, isn't it? Right, Shotakirti Prabhu? You want your children, you want your son to be better than you. Like a teacher, he wants to have the student to be better than the teacher himself. So in this school, politics is being taught, how to cheat, how to lie, how to be unkind, everything in a mode of ignorance and passion. No goodness here, no goodness. Oh, just, they're expert. Hiranyakashipu is expert in mode of ignorance especially. So he wants his boy, especially Prahlad Maharaj, who is his favorite son, to be the worst demon. Is that good? You don't want your son to be really bad. But he's a demon anyway, so. But he doesn't know that he was taught by Narad Muni while being in the womb of his mother, Prahlad Maharaj, is being taught. And the main difference here is that Kayadu forgot all of those, whatever has been taught, because her mind is focused in taking care of the child. It's like if you're in the Bhagavatam class and your mind is somewhere else, then you are not here. Or you are in Vrindavan, but you're thinking of sense enjoyment, then you are not in Vrindavan. You are in the material world, even if you are in Vrindavan. But Prahlad Maharaj, he remembered all of those. He remembered all of those. So, one day, Hiranyakashipu put Prahlad Maharaj on his lap. "My dear child, what have you learned today?" Very easy question. It's like, I'm sure most of you who have children going to school, and then they come back from school, I'm sure one time or another, you probably ask your child, your son or your daughter, "Hey, what have you learned in mathematics today? What have you learned in science?" So, but the question is very general. What have you learned today? Could be anything. So Prahlad Maharaj says, "My dear father," he replies in such a way that Hiranyakashipu is not expecting that the reply will be how to become more and more better demon. He says, "My dear father, you are getting, no, this body is getting old. And now is the time to go to the forest, to be detached materially, to be focused more on understanding about self-realization, how to get closer and closer to the Supreme Lord." And this forest, Prabhupada mentions here, is Vrindavan. Vrindavan. If I can find it very easily. Yes, he says, "You go to the Van forest, because now is the time for retirement."
7:55.
7?
5:55.
Everything is in my head. 7:55. Yes. Prahlad Maharaj replied, "O best of the Asuras, king of the demons, as far as I have learned from my spiritual master, any person who has accepted a temporary body and temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety because of having fallen in a dark well where there is no water but only suffering. One should give up this position and go to the forest, Van. More clearly, one should go to Vrindavan, where only Krishna consciousness is prevalent, and should thus take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tat sadmanye suravarya dehinam sada samudvigna diyam asagrahayat hitvatma patam griham andakupam bhanam gatoyat darim astrayeta." So now Hiranyakashipu was thinking, spiritual master, you've heard this from your spiritual master? He thought, how could Sandayana Marga will teach this knowledge? This is not possible. So he called Sandayana Marga and says, "Is it true? Based from what my son told me, you taught this?" "No, no, 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 no. We never taught like this." So they were thinking that maybe the school is being infiltrated. Some spies must be inside. So Hiranyakashi Pu says, okay, yes, you have to be vigilant. And as soon as you see some Vaishnavas inside, kill them immediately. Don't let them inside. But Hiranyakashipu didn't know that actually he heard this from Narad Muni, Prahlad Maharaj. So, okay, you go, take him and teach him more and more about becoming a good demon. It doesn't make sense, right? Good demon. Should be a bad demon, but no, they don't say bad. They also say good, good demon. And then, during the tiffin time or recess, Prahlad Maharaj will gather all of his schoolmates and they will be taught about bhakti. That is chapter 7. Or 6, chapter 6. We were reading this in the Philippines. And mostly this is focused on grihastas, the teachings. Well, 99% will become grihastas anyway. Very rare in Kali Yuga, one is a sannyasi or brahmachari. How to become detached materially? Because we only live a very short period of time. We all want to attain happiness. This is the purpose of human form of life, to be happy. But usually when one comes in the grihastha ashram, then grihastha ashram is not bad. Grihastha means Krishna is the center. If you become a griha medhi, then that is not good. Griha medhi means sense enjoyers. Meaning that the purpose of life in the householder life is just to enjoy. Becoming as an andakupa, being in the well. So we have to be taught right from the early age, Komara Acharit Pragyo, right from the very beginning. But what about us who came to Krishna consciousness in a later part of our life? Some of us, maybe in our 20s, 30s, coming in, or during Prabhupada's times, even the teenagers, they get into Krishna consciousness. But nowadays, most of our members are in their later part or middle age. So what to do? Is it too late? No, it is not too late. Never too late. There's a saying, better late than never. So we just have to be more and more surrender unto the process, especially of bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga. In bhakti yoga, we engage all of our senses in serving the Supreme Lord or His devotees. The same senses. The senses are the extensions of our mind. Whatever our mind is thinking of, we want to fulfill that desire. The function of the mind is thinking, feeling, and willing. The mind always wanted to make plans, how I can be comfortable, how can I enjoy, and it can only be fulfilled to this knowledge acquiring senses. Chitta means also consciousness, or whatever the mind is focusing all the time. Chitta also means consciousness, yeah. The symptom of the soul. So, in the process of bhakti, it is very simple. We just have to engage our senses, purify them, And the mind should be focused unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Now one may say, yeah, it's easy to say, but it's difficult to do. Again, we have to pay the price. If you really want to attain Krishna prema, then we should be willing to pay the price. And Prabhupada gave us everything. It's like Prahlad Maharaj, he told his classmates, you just chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, chant the holy name of the Lord, be absorbed, chant, dance. Our process is so simple. Offer the foodstuffs to Lord Krishna, be absorbed 24 hours in thinking of Krishna. What is the difficulty? Like Shruti Kirti Prabhu's book, what is the difficulty? The difficulty actually is the mind. The mind is our worst enemy right now. It's not our friend at the moment. It can only be our friend if we engage the mind in thinking of Krishna. So Prahlad Maharaj taught this to his classmates. And then one day again, he was called by his father, Hiranyakashipu. He smelled the hair, the head of Prahlad Maharaj. You've seen this, I'm sure. The parents, they will embrace the child and smell the head. They put him again in the lap and ask, my dear son, what have you learned in school today? And then he says, Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Bandhanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. What is this? They teach you this in school? Hearing and chanting, remembering the name, fame, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Supreme Lord, serving the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, praying to the Supreme Lord, becoming His friend, serving Him, and ultimately surrendering everything unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this cannot be. I'm sure you've learned this. He understood actually that he's a devotee of Lord Vishnu. And he pushed him. Now, he was so surprised, Hiranyakashipu, because this Prahlad Maharaj has no fear. The whole universe, by the movement of his eyebrow, they were all running. They will all be trembling. But this boy is so impudent that he's no fear. So he asked his demons servants, Hiranyakashipu, who is also, they're all under the mode of ignorance and passion. They were born out of lust only. The same qualities, but in a lesser degree as Hiranyakashipu. So they started to torture him. It's like to brainwash him to not to take shelter of Lord Vishnu. There are few places here in the fifth chapter, starting from text 39 and 40. So, yes, Prahlad Maharaj cannot be controlled. I cannot control this person, this boy. Therefore, this enemy, now he considered now an enemy, arc number one. Therefore, this enemy, whether eating, sitting, or sleeping, must be killed by all means. He told now the servants of Hiranyakashipu. They're all rakshasas. So they began striking the tender parts of Prahlad Maharaj's body with their tridents. You know, they have this trishul, right? But it will not touch his body. It was just like there is an armor, invisible armor, that it will not scratch the body. And all the while, Prahlad Maharaj was thinking of the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. He's very, very much absorbed in remembering the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. Says here, the demons all had fearful faces, sharp teeth, and reddish coppery beards and hair, and they appeared extremely threatening. Just like the Yamadutas. Yamadutas looks very ugly. They look very fearsome, gruesome. Making a tumultuous sound, shouting, "Chop him! Pierce him!" They began striking Prahlad Maharaj, who sat silently meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now they didn't do it once, at least twice, as many times as possible. And he's not disturbed. Usually, if you are going to be attacked, what you will do? You will defend yourself. Or you will run away, or you will hide away. But Prahlad Maharaj, no. Nothing can deter his meditation. Nothing can disturb. He's just there, sitting. So now, the attempts of the demons to kill Prahlad Maharaj were futile. The king of demons, Hiranyakashipu, being most fearful, began contriving other means to kill him. What they did now is that to put him and to be trampled by the elephant's feet. Now, one elephant is enough to kill a 5-year-old boy, isn't it? It's like in Mathura, when they entered, Krishna and Balaram, Kamsa, he made an arrangement whereby there was a big elephant just to kill them. Name is? Kovalyapida. Now, it's already like 11 years old. And one elephant. But now he is 5-year-old. And many elephants. Of course, they are demoniac elephants also. At least 5. They put him amongst these elephants, and still nothing happened. They put him in a pit of snakes. Still cannot touch him, cannot harm him. They also chanted some mantras. They used some black art, you know. This is still prevalent in some parts of the world, like in South India or West Bengal, right? They can harm you by just some mantra, spell. In the Philippines also, we have this. Hurling him from top of a hill, like in the cliff, throwing him But he didn't touch the ground like, you know, crashing. He just like slow motion. Slow motion. Huh? Conjuring up illusory tricks. Administering poison. They gave him a cake. Huh? With poison. But he offered to Lord Vishnu. Then it became prasad. Starving him. Exposing him to severe cold, winds, fire, and water. Or throwing heavy stones to crush him. When Hiranyakashipu found that he could not in any way harm Prahlad, who was completely sinless, he was in great anxiety about what to do next. It's not possible. The degree of surrender of Prahlad Maharaj is full, 100%. So he's protected. As we mentioned earlier, he's protected from all of these different dangers. But mostly his consciousness is protected in such a way that Prahlad Maharaj is always thinking of Krishna, Lord Vishnu. That is real protection. Okay? It's like Sarvadharman Parichajam Amekam Saranam Braja Aham Tam Sarva Pape Bhyo Moksha Sami Masuchaha. I mean, this body we have to give up. It says, Krishna, please protect me. I don't want to die. I just want to live. No, we have to give up this body. But the protection of Krishna is that we become Krishna conscious even after at the time of death. Next life, we continue our Krishna consciousness. So Hiranyakashipu thought, I have used many ill names in chastising this boy Prahlad and have devised many means of killing him. But despite all my endeavors, he could not be killed. Indeed, he saved himself by his own powers without being affected in the least by these treacheries and abominable actions. Although he is very near to me and is merely a child, he is situated in complete fearlessness. He resembles a dog's curb tail, which can never be straightened because he never forgets my misbehavior and his connection with his master, Lord Vishnu. Yes, a person who is Krishna conscious, he cannot be swayed. He is determined not to fall into Maya. Always afraid of Maya. Prabhupada says like that. We should be afraid of Maya. Then Maya will not touch us. Then we will be always protected. So they did everything. Hiranyakashipu and his cohorts, his men, they did everything. They cannot do anything. It's not possible. And he became so angry. Where did you get your power from? Where did you get your strength from? My dear father, the same strength that you have is given by the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. Really? Where is he? He's everywhere. He's everywhere. He's everywhere? Then he took his sword. This is like one of the best scene. You know, like this evening, don't miss the presentation of the children, community members. They will have a play about Nishinha Lila, Prahlad Maharaj. I know some of the characters because I asked who is Hiranyakashipu and who is Prahlad. I didn't ask who is Nisinghade. But I have an idea. Maybe they have some kind of costumes or mask or makeup. But I asked some of the children last night. And when this also pastime has been presented in Mumbai, Srila Prabhupada was there, and then he says, "Well done, Mr. Hiranyakashipu." Nice drama. Prabhupada says, we can conquer the whole world through cultural revolution. Cultural revolution means presenting. See, when we see this in dramas or plays, the devotees actually like portray the characters so much so that actually it is better than the book. And one time I when I was in Toronto, I played the role of Sanjay in Bhagavad Gita. I felt it. It's like, it's so overwhelming. The role that you're going to play is like almost real, almost the personality. So what to say when we attain our original spiritual form? And when we serve the Supreme Lord wholeheartedly, full of love and devotion, how much more happiness, how much more we will in bliss. Can you imagine that? A little bit. That is our goal. That is what we are hankering for. That hopefully someday in the near future, in this lifetime, before we give up this body, we will attain that level of loving relationship with the Supreme Lord. Confirm. Isn't that amazing? Huh? These pastimes we heard, it purifies our heart. The Bhagavad Gita, I hear Bhagavad Gita every day. How many of you hear Bhagavad Gita or read Bhagavad Gita every day? Very good. At least you're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam every day. But don't forget Bhagavad Gita. That is our basic book. But it says there, with the fire of knowledge from the Bhagavad Gita, it will purify our hearts. And then one day, it'll be so pure that Krishna will not anymore be invisible. We'll be able to see Krishna face to face. So, Hiranyakashipu says, is he in this pillar? Yes, my dear king of the demons, my dear demonic father. Yes, he's there also. So to prove the word of his devotee, Lord Nisinghadev appeared when he smacked Hiranyakashipu, that pillar, and lo and behold, something like that. Lord Nisinghadev appeared, the most beautiful half man, half lion incarnation of the Supreme Lord appeared. And actually, they played. Hiranyakashipu is like a mouse, and Nisingadev is like a cat. So he was playing few hours. Lord Nisingadev appeared like in the midday, not in the setting of the sun, because there is some time for playing. You know, the Lord played with the mouse, right? But before that, he asked, Hiranyakashipu asked Brahma that I may not be killed, because he wanted to be pacified. Because if he's not going to be pacified, then the whole world will burn into ashes. So he asked, give me some benediction. Okay, I want to give you benediction. So what do you want? I want to become immortal. But that's not possible, because I myself is not immortal. I have to die also, Lord Brahma says. Okay, let me not die either day or night. Let me not die either inside or outside. Let me not die with the hands of man, or beast, or demigod, or in the hands of Lord Vishnu. Let me not die either in the air, in the land, or in the water. Tatastu, tatastu, tatastu. So be it, so be it, so be it. So, when the time, right time comes, it was dusk. It's like the night and day is like in the middle. It's not dark yet, and it's not daylight. Dusk. It's called dusk, right? Dusk. And it is in between the, it's like on the door. In between. Not inside, not outside. He got hold. Lord Nisingadev got hold of Hiranyakashipu, put him on his lap. So it's not in the air, it's not in the land. It's not day or night. And then with his chisel-like nails, which is not made of any, not man or beast, he ripped the chest of Hiranyakashipu, and the blood all over the place, even the face, the body, the whole body of Lord Nisingadev. And he took the intestines and wrapped around his neck like a garland. And was so angry at that moment. So angry that the whole world, the whole universe also is getting so much affected. Now Lord Brahma, all the demigods, they were also in fear how to pacify. Because at that moment he is ugra. Ugra. Fearsome, fearful. Now everyone is afraid to come forward. No way. But Prahlad is not disturbed. He's not fearful. And eventually Lord Brahma says, Go near him. Because you're the only one who can pacify Nisingadev. So Prahlad Maharaj, being very obedient, he went towards Lord Nisingadev. And when Lord Nisingadev saw his pure devotee, Mahabhagavat, Uttama Bhakta, Vaishnava, He became pacified. He became pacified. He says, my dear son, I would like to offer you a benediction. Ask me anything, any boon, whatever. I would like to give you a benediction. Now, benediction usually is like material things. It's like you go to a rich person, you ask some favor. I want this, I want that. That's like that is a benediction. But in this regard, it is not like a material thing. But Prahlad Maharaj says, my dear Lord, I don't want to ask anything from you, because if I ask something from you, then it'll become like a business transaction. I don't want anything. I am fully satisfied. I don't want. He says, yes, yes, yes. Please, please. Ask for any benediction. Whatever you wish, I will make it fulfill. I will give it to you. Then Prahlad Maharaj, eventually, he says, if there is only one benediction that I will have, I would like to ask my dear Lord that I will not have any material desires. And the whole world will be liberated, including my father. The Lord is surprised, including his demoniac father, who gave him so much trouble, who gave him so much sufferings, who gave him so much, even ready to kill him. This is Vaishnava. Vaishnava never take grudges, never have any ill feeling to anyone, to anybody, even to his enemy. This is Vaishnava. Are we in that level yet? Maybe someday. So we can check ourselves if we still have that within us. Especially envy. This is the last thing that we have need to give up. Envy. But Prahlad Maharaj has no envy. Nothing. And Lord Nisingadev says, Tatastu, so be it. The whole pastimes actually is to purify our heart with the chisel-like nails of Lord Nisingadev, to uproot our misgivings, our anarthas. Pankajangri Prabhu was asked, why do you worship Prahlad Nisingadev? There is the Panchatattva, there is the Radha Madhava, Astasakhi. Why is it that you chose to worship them? It's been like what? 1 year now, right? Since he left. He's the main deity of Prahlad Pujari. He's the main Pujari for Prahlad Nrisimhadev. Well, he says, Radha Madhava, they are very busy in their pastimes. They're always enjoying in their pastimes. So Radha Madhava incarnated as Nrisimhadev. And especially the Nrisimhadev in Mayapur is very, very powerful. Extremely powerful. You go in front of the deity, you pray, the next moment, it's solved. You pray for your health, you pray that, you know, some devotees, they have some accounts that they gave to Pankajangri Prabhu. There is one time, Pankajangri Prabhu asked a lady devotee to, can you please distribute this Charanamrita to the ladies? And then she took the Charanamrita, she distributed to the ladies, all the devotees there, the ladies. And then she returned back to Pankajangri Prabhu and told him, how did you know? At that moment, when you gave me the Charanamrita, I was asking Lord Nrisimhadev, please engage me in some service. And immediately you gave me this Charanamrita? How is that? How the Lord knows my mind, what I'm thinking? One devotee, he's having so much pain in his body. So much pain. So he came forward towards Lord Nrisimhadev and prayed to Lord Nrisimhadev that somehow this pain will go away. And after the prayer, he can feel the pain in his body started to like moving away, going away. Very powerful deities. So yes, he says that Pankajangri says, because Radha Madhava, they're very busy, the Panchatattva, they're very busy in Sankirtan. So here is Lord Nrisimhadev. Is ready to answer all your problems. Is ready to solve anything that you may have. This is his main service or main purpose. So today we should pray wholeheartedly towards Prahlad Maharaj, Lord Nrisimhadev, towards their pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, to bless us that somehow we may be able to continue on in the process of devotional service, become free from all of these unwanted desires within our heart, and ultimately attain the taste for chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Today is the best day to do that. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Tat Sat. Is there any questions, any points? It's quite exhaustive. And we just tried to summarize whatever. You have a question? Huh?
There are?
Lions? There are lions in front of Prabhupada?
There are lions in the adjacent Prabhupada, so are they resemblance of Lord Narasimha?
No. No, they are baby lions. They're not like Lord Nisinghadev. This is to signify that whoever is sitting there being guarded by these two lions is a great personality. Nowadays, it's a custom, or those who are wealthy, like in UAE or in Middle Eastern countries, they have pets like lions. Yeah, or tigers or leopards or something like that. But they're not great personalities. They're extreme materialist. Yeah, this is a symbol that Prabhupada is a great personality. Okay? Yes, sir. By Kunta Prabhu. Hare Ram. Put into your...
Is the Sananda which the austerity of Hiranyakashipu
100 years? It says 100. Prabhupada says 100.
But the wife was taking the ashram from Narada Muni because she was pregnant. And Prabhupada was 5 years when he was receiving his father also. Now, how he went from 1,100 years to Chester when 5 years after he was already receiving the Guinness song?
I cannot figure out. I
you understand?
Yet.
Hiranyakashipu did 100 celestial year tapas.
Yes.
But in 5 years the song was already there.
Who?
In 5 years time, Prahlad was already 5 years older.
Yeah.
And he was trying to begin with his father. Where is the other 99.95?
Just wait, I will ask Hiranyakashipu. Wait for the answer sometime. I will ask him. Time is relative. Okay. In the ashram where Narad Muni brought Kayadu, maybe somewhere. He went somewhere else. Not in the celestial. Yeah.
The
I know, but there is no praman that actually Prahlad Maharaj was brought here. I've heard somewhere, but I don't want to repeat it. I may mislead you, but there is no ashram of Prahlad Narad Muni except Narada Kun. Maybe he has some hideout somewhere that no one, you know, will find. Okay? Srila Prabhupada ki!
Jai!
Nisinghadev Bhagavan ki!
Jai!
Prahlad Maharaj ki!